buzzer. Buy a bigger house and live in the suburbs. You got a fast car. Is it fast enough so we can fly away? You gotta make a decision. Leave tonight, I'll live and die this way. Leave tonight, I'll live and die this way.
So this week, as we've done this, we're moving from talking about this from Hebrew Testament into New Testament. We talked about it through Galatians last week, but we're now moving into the Gospels as we move towards Easter over the next couple of weeks and talk about the cross and all that comes with it. And the text we just read and what we're about to read in the next little section comes from what I think are some of the most important words for Christians in all of history. This comes from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. Now, Matthew has these five sermons on the mouth of Jesus that frame his text as it moves through. This is the first of those five and probably one of the most recognizable documents, even for people who practice no faith, of saying, blessed are those, blessed are those. I got to take a deep breath and say something. Somebody just picked up something so cute. So, David, welcome to the neighborhood, Miss Cora. This is her first trip to the loft, and we're so excited to have her here. And Mom just stepped out, but I saw her come up, and I couldn't resist. So thank you guys for bringing her here to share us. This is one of our new gifts entrusted to us and to these guys. It's so exciting. I couldn't even keep my thought. So anyway, what were we talking about? Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, and the framing of all of Christendom through this text. And we get to these blesseds. Blessed are those. But here's a problem. One of the big problems that I hear over and over again when I talk to people about reading this text and what we do with it, even in the church. So we take these blessed are those, and we read them in such a way that points a finger. They direct us towards something that I think is unintentional. So when you hear this, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, Luke just says blessed are the poor, but Matthew tries to save us a little bit. So blessed are the poor in spirit. We're not telling people to go out and be poor, but some people do. Some people read these texts and they hear them as prescriptions on how to live as faithful people, that you should be poor in spirit. And they point a finger at ourselves or at one another when they read the Beatitudes. They make these about attitudes of life and less about the person who is speaking them. And I want to push on that for a little bit. That I think that these should be read as a framework for how grace works and how big and all-inclusive the gospel of Jesus Christ is. So when we come to the Beatitudes, rather than pointing a finger at it and saying this is a prescription on how Christians should live, these are an invitation for all to participate. So when it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, I like the translation that's in the Message. Blessed are you spiritual zeros. You left out, left off, sat on, spat on, and ratted on, as Paul Simon would say. All you who think you don't have a chance, a snowball's chance, when this faith thing comes around, guess what? This is for you. You are included. This is how big the gospel of Jesus Christ is. When it says, blessed are those who mourn, you will be comforted. Now, it's not telling you that when you lose someone close to you, that that's a good thing. But gosh, as a pastor sitting in some sermons at funerals, I've heard that preached to people. And you want to stand up and throw something at the pastor. Like, no, this is not a good thing. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is so all-encompassing, such big grace, such good news, that even those who've lost something dear and close, the kingdom of God is close to you now. This is a different way. It's not prescriptive of how you should be in order to participate in the kingdom of heaven. This is descriptive of those of us who've been left out, who are mourning, who are meek, who don't have a seat at the table, who are not included. You, the gospel of Jesus Christ is so big. This is for you. You're all in. So, this is the question I want to start with. If that's the framework, if this is descriptive, not prescriptive, if the Beatitudes are saying we're including everyone, and Jesus is preaching this to us. We get to the ninth one, which speaks directly to this issue of peace, to the issue of violence that we're talking about. Instead of throwing Molotov cocktails, can we throw bouquets? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Why is that in the list? And why is it high in the list? It's moving up in intensity. What about peacemakers? So I've got a discussion question we're going to throw up on the screen about this, and this is where we go the first week. Prescriptive and descriptive. If this is describing reality, and it says, blessed are the peacemakers, why do they make the list? What happens usually? What usually happens to peacemakers? Sorry for my typo. What usually happens to peacemakers? So if that's the case, I want you to turn to a neighbor, find two or three people so you can discuss this for a minute and say, why did Jesus include this descriptively? And have you ever experienced it where you've been in the middle making peace? We'll walk around the room for a second and get some voices added to this conversation. So why do peacemakers make the list? Anybody have an answer? Why do peacemakers make the list? Anybody? Yes, we're sure talking. Because the Bible said Jesus put him on the list. That's good enough for me. It's in. That's good. So why did Jesus conclude peacemakers? Yeah.
I guess one theme of that list would be the opposite of wielding power in some way. And being the peacemaker, you're not trying to wield power over somebody else in this movie. Solve the situation.
Peacemakers align with the powerless, or they give up their power, yeah?
We were talking about the sort of plight of the peacemaker and like where so many peacemakers end up in a not very good place, being assassinated or whatever. And especially in this list, everything else is stuff that's like really sort of a difficult thing to go through in life, being hungry, being poor, those sort of things. I mean, so it would seem by default that in a way Jesus is saying being a peacemaker is a very difficult and hard thing, like those other things.
All right. Over here. Why do peacemakers make the list? Any one thing you want to add? Just because they give up power?
Yes, you're talking a lot. What, you got anything? Anything?
What usually happens to them? Have you ever been one? Yeah, give me your example. That's a good one.
So I was telling Chris while you guys were talking, and some of you were born in 1979 during the Camp David Accords with Jimmy Carter, and he was trying to broker peace between Israel and Egypt. They were fighting. They had always been fighting. And so he had Anwar Sadat and Begin from Egypt and Israel to come and try to broker a peace deal. And so they were at Camp David, and the talks kept breaking down, but Jimmy Carter was persistent, again, a devout Christian and believing very much in this. And they ended up having a peace deal. And at the State of the Union, Jimmy Carter quoted scripture and said, blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called children of God. And everybody in the entire Capitol stood up and clapped because Begin and Sadat were in the audience. And I think shortly thereafter, Anwar Sadat was assassinated. So, you know, that's what happens to them.
What happens to peacemakers? Isn't it good? So, it's funny how we take this thing about peacemaking, and we take the Beatitudes and we make them prescriptive, saying you should become this, you should do this. But in fact, I think the measure of grace is how inclusive this is. In fact, the kingdom of God is for all those who are the least likely to participate, like those who are some of the smallest and least powerful and unlikely to be included. But the invitation of grace often comes not only to those, but through those. So when we participate in God's kingdom in all of its different expressions, sometimes those that we think are the least likely to have access to it are the very ones who deliver it. So today, don't drink that just yet. We have some very special friends who are going to be delivering and serving us communion. So we're going to participate with them, and they're going to take you a cup of grape juice or bring you some bread, and we'll have all this spread out together. Now, these are all of our kids that are downstairs doing stuff, but these blessed ones are going to bless us by serving us and allowing us to participate in God.
Yep, right, just wherever they're in the middle.
Praying for clear skies.
Did everybody get one?
Sometimes I think
we need a few more over here. A few more. You got one, Chloe?
The beauty in front of me.
Got some bread for those over there.
From the kid I'm supposed to be. Silhouettes of paradise. Not painted we and they. Or
did you, all of you get one? Did you get a cup and some bread?
A table big enough for everyone. Pull up a chair. It's kingdom come. Great mystery unknown.
You get one? All right, so everybody's got a cup and some bread. So Jesus gathered up with his closest friends. He called them his family on a very important night in his life. And he celebrated a meal with them. This meal, he took ordinary things that we always eat, things like juice and bread. And he said, whenever you do this, when you take these things into your body, I want you to remember me in that. Remember my presence in these things. And remember this meal when the family gets together to celebrate. That the grace and the gift of Jesus Christ comes to all of us, no matter how big, how small, no matter how far away or how included, no matter how much power you have or how much you have given away. But this grace comes to all of us. So we're going to celebrate communion together with these very special friends who are serving it to us. So would you take the bread?
God is my shepherd. I won't be wanting, I won't be wanting. You make me rest in fields of green with quiet streams. Even though I walk through the valley of death and dying, I will not fear, 'cause you are with me, you are with me. Your shepherd's staff comforts me. You are my feast in the presence of enemies. Surely goodness will follow me, follow me in the house of God forever. Is my shepherd, I won't be wanting, I won't be wanting.
Sing it together. You make me rest,
you make me rest in fields of green with quiet streams. Death and dying, I will not fear, 'cause you're with me, you're always with me. shepherd's staff comforts me. You are my feast in the presence of enemies. Surely goodness will follow me. Follow me in the house of God forever. In the house of God forever. In the house of God forever.
Can I be honest? Sometimes the Beatitudes feel like one of those commercials for medicine that you see where it's like, this could make your life so much better.
And you're going to have bleeding in your eyeballs.
Unfortunately, right, you're going to have diarrhea coming out to the point it might kill you.
Yes.
You know, like there's lists of all these
there's
things and you're
news.
Like, this seems like a weird trade-off. You know, like, yeah, I'd like to sleep through the night, but not wake up in a puddle in the morning. Like, I don't know if that's a good trade-off, right? And so the Beatitudes seem like, hey, you're poor? You're so blessed, right? And you're like, yay! And you're hungry? Good for you, right? And you're like, woo, we're so inclusive. Everyone gets a cookie. And it feels really good. And then Jesus is like, all right, so now that everybody's in, let's do this. So when somebody punches you, you got to let them punch you twice. When a Roman soldier makes you carry his pack, don't just do it the legal 1 mile. You got to go 2 miles, right? When somebody has wronged you, you can't wait for them to apologize. You got to go to them. And you're like, can we go back to the other way of doing
it? It's much easier, right?
So much easier.
But then you live in a world where violence rules. It's a risky thing. It's the thing that it's so hard to argue for, because those possible outcomes, those symptoms that we're trying to, that might come about from taking this pill or doing it Jesus' way, they're risky and they're hard. But the alternative is so much worse. It's the world we've been inhabiting for so long, where we make these walls and clench these fists and arm ourselves.
I think the difficult part, though, is we know the rules of the world the way it is. The systems and structures and establishments, we're familiar with that. And we've adapted to survive in that dog-eat-dog world.
Yeah.
Right? We know that if I don't look out for number one, no one else is going to. Or I can, like, make myself smaller. Or I can make myself appear different. Or I can be quieter, whatever it is, so that you don't want to be the tallest blade of grass because you'll get cut down. Right? We know how that world works. This thing Jesus is talking about of the kingdom, that we're all related, that it's relationship all the way down,
yeah.
Right? That everyone's included now. We don't know how that world looks. What are the rules in that kingdom?
I think this is what Jesus is constantly talking about when he says the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like there's always this comparison that's a story, a metaphor, an invitation to participate in a new way. Mm. And, I mean, the elephant in the room when we say, hey, I like this, is that you and I have to admit that we're both over 6 feet tall, we're both white, we're both male, we both get
I'm quite a bit over 6 feet.
And well said. but we get the opportunity to participate in that in a way that others do not. We're going to try to pull some of these ideas together for a second and harvest some of this stuff to kind of build some ideas around it. Would anybody from a group be willing to kind of share where their conversation was rooted, where they were talking about and what was going on? Anybody? Oh, we're pointing. All right, good.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't choose this.
But you have the blessing.
Yeah. So the other day I was actually thinking about this passage and how, this might come out all jumbled up, so just bear with me. But just the idea of existence, right, that the word literally means to stand forth, right? So, like, for instance, if you